Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. How many of you know the names of Moses' parents? If you know the name. How many maybe? Well, most people don't know the name because you're just not available much, but it is in the Bible, the name of his parents. You know why this happened. You know the story behind this. You remember, as the Israelites were multiplying and multiplying, they were getting so many of them, the Pharaoh that came in didn't know Joseph anymore. Joseph now is dead. After Joseph died, the new Pharaoh didn't like the Israelites, made slaves of them, and didn't care for them, and they were multiplying. So he said, we've got to stop their multiplication. We've got to stop it. So he made an edict. He started with the midwives. All the midwives were told, when you help one of the Hebrew women, if it's a girl, fine, let it live. But if it's a boy baby, kill it. Find a way to kill it. But these two women, you'll see it in the Bible there, that they didn't do that. The Pharaoh said, well, why didn't you do that? Why are you letting some of these babies live? And he said, well, the Hebrew women, they're so fast at the birth, once they get the baby in their arms, that would be difficult to kill the baby. They weren't going to let you do that. So they lied to Pharaoh. And this is what we read in Exodus chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Because the midwives feared God. They actually had a fear. They knew there was a God. They knew that, God created the birth process and created babies and so on. Because the midwives feared God, the Bible says, even after they had lied to Pharaoh, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh said, well, that's not going to work going through the midwives. So Pharaoh made another edict to all the people of Egypt. Pharaoh commanded all his people. So if you see a baby born to one of those Israelites, saying, every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile. And every daughter you are to keep alive. Throw the sons into the Nile River. And let them swim and die, or whatever they do. Moses' parents, you see, did not do that. Take a look at that. Now, who were Moses' parents? In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, you read that Amram, and there are other places, there are some in Chronicles, I won't take you through all that, but Amram was the father of Moses. Now, Amram married his father's sister. Amram married his aunt, his father's sister. Her name was Jochebed. It's spelled J-O-C-H-E-B-E-D. Jochebed. You'll see it in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. And Jochebed bore Aaron and Moses and she also bore Miriam. You'll see another place that she got three children. Moses was the youngest of those three children. Now, the other kid, Miriam was the oldest, and I think Aaron was next, and then Moses was the youngest. So, Jochebed bore Aaron and Moses, and the length of Amram's life was 137 years. He died 137 years old. That's Moses' father. He married his aunt. Okay? Now, in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read this. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. See, Moses was a part of the Levitical tribe, the tribe of Levi. But he was not. The priests came through Aaron. Even though Moses, did a lot of priestly things, the priests came through Aaron's lineage. The woman conceived and bore a son, and then she saw that he was beautiful. Now, we'll take a look at that in a minute. And she had She hid him for 3 months. Now, let's say you're a husband and wife, and your wife is expecting. You get this edict from the king. Everybody is to throw, and you don't make an edict unless there's a penalty going with it. There's no point in giving a law if there's no penalty for breaking the law, right? You have to have penalties for law. Otherwise, there's no point in it. So they said, you have to throw your kid in the Nile. Every boy, baby, has to be destroyed. That was the word. And so here, he says, this man, she conceived. She conceived a son. Now think about during the time she's pregnant. There are no ultrasounds. There are no ways of this specifically finding whether it's a baby boy or baby girl. So you're kind of like, well, I wonder what we're going to have. What are we going to do? What are we going to do if it's a boy? It's our baby, my baby, and what am I supposed to give it up? You can imagine the anguish that these people went through. Imagine her pregnancy in the light of Pharaoh's decree about boys being put to death. You know, she couldn't know the sex of her child. So it was very, very difficult. What are we going to do if it's a boy? Her parents had to exercise his parents, Moses' parents, exercised great faith, because here's what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. So we see, actually, it says, Exodus chapter 2, verses 1-3 says, she saw that he was beautiful, and she implies the mother hid him for 3 months, but his father also had to be participant, because Hebrews says that the parents hid him. So she didn't hide him without the parent, the father, knowing about it. And remember, they were slaves. The father had to get up and go and work for the Egyptians, you know, to crack the whip, make so many bricks, make this, you know, do this, put the straw in them, you know, get all this stuff done. The Israelites were being captured and used as slaves in Egypt. And so he comes home, you know, he's had a hard day's work. He's known, what are we going to do? Now she gives the birth to the baby. It's a baby boy. We have to be careful. Don't let anybody know we have this baby. Don't let anybody come and question us. So they had the baby. She kept him for how long? 3 months. But you know, little babies grow. Little babies get bigger. Little babies get louder. Little babies get more difficult to you know, have to have spend more time with them, eat more food, and so on. And so she realized, uh-oh, before somebody else catches us. So what are we going to do? So Amram and Jochebed, you know, they were surrounded in a world of idolatry, a world where people actually would just sacrifice their kids. And there may have been a religious component to being able to throw your kid into the Nile, because the Egyptians believed the gods of the Nile ruled everything, and they worshipped the gods of the Nile, because without the Nile, you would not have the country of Egypt. Egypt would not exist. So they may have been throwing their babies in as a religious thing as well. Because here's what we read in the book of Ezekiel about their time in Egypt. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 5-8. He said, God says, and I made myself known to them in Egypt when I swore to them, saying, I am the eternal, your God. Okay. On that day, I swore to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt and into the land which I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. I said to them, cast away each of you the detestable things of his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. So here were the Israelites in Egypt. They had forgotten about the Sabbath. They didn't know anything about it. God had to teach them that all over again during the wilderness times. And they had idols. Idols. They were, you know, people were superstitious. Egyptians worshipped bugs. They worshipped flies. They worshipped all kinds of inanimate objects. He said, I told them, get rid of that. But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. And he says, they did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, and nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. So most of the Israelites didn't. But Moses' parents feared God. And the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith, when he was born, these people hid him for 3 months because they saw he was a beautiful child. We'll talk a little bit about that. So is it possible, which Moses' parents did, is it possible for you to live a Christian life, a godly life, in and around a society that is abominable, that is filled with idolatry, filled with paganism, filled with immorality? Is it possible for you to do that? Well, Moses' parents did it. But when, this is now, I'm going to come back now to, let's go back to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a wicker basket. And I want you to think about the creativity of this faith. She got a wicker basket. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this baby? Because if other people see it, I'm going to be forced. They're going to force me to throw this baby into the Nile, drown him there, is what it meant. What am I going to do? She got a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. We got to make waterproof. We got to put some tar, waterproof. We got to waterproof this little basket, okay? And I'm going to put the child in it. And I'm going to set it in and among the reeds, the papyrus reeds and the other things along the bank of the Nile. Now, what did she know about that? What did she know about that? Okay, chapter 2, dropping down to verse 9. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, okay, this is not, let me go back to chapter. So Miriam, the older sister, is instructed, okay? We're going to sit this out here and let it come down here. We know that the king's daughter and some of the king's maids and the king's, they bathe in this area. You watch this wicker basket. So she does. And Pharaoh's daughter then says, when Pharaoh's daughter saw this child, she said, oh, it's a beautiful baby. Her heart went out. She didn't want to kill this baby. She said, I want to keep this baby. This baby's going to be mine. And so Miriam comes up and says, would you like to have one of the Hebrew women nurse this baby for you? And she said, well, yeah, because, you know, she was not lactating. So, yes, I want somebody to do it. So here's what we said. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. That's Jochebed, Moses' mother. Ends up, listen how creative, how thoughtful, how clever, and how God intervened for them to make sure that this happened. So here's this woman, supposed to get rid of her child. Instead of getting rid of her child, what is she? She's nursing this child, her own child, and getting paid for it by Pharaoh's daughter, who is now saying, I'm raising this child as my child in Egypt. So she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him, and it was Pharaoh's daughter who named him Moses, Moshe, which meant taken out of the water, brought out of the water. That's what that word means. Because I drew him from the water. That's why his name was Moses. Moshe took him out of the water. Now Moses' parents were, you see, some of the they were part of the Kohath part of the Levites. We already saw his father's name was Amram. His mother's name was Jochebed. And in the book of Numbers, you see something that he married the daughter of Levi. It meant Levi in a general sense. Okay, he was part of the Levitical tribe. Okay, so here we have in the book of Hebrews again, lots of words about Moses and Abraham. Because the purpose of writing this book of Hebrews was to encourage Hebrew Jewish Christians who were being persecuted at that time to stay with the faith. Don't give up the faith. Don't look at your ancestry. Look at Moses, what he did. Look at Abraham, what he did. You know, stay faithful to God. Don't give it up. So that was the whole purpose. So they used Abraham and Moses very definitely. Now, when you see the word, and it's used also in the book of Acts. So let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 20. Acts 7, verse 20. It was at that time that Moses was born, and he was lovely. I'm going to read different translations. He was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. They kept him for 3 months before they had to, you know, finally find some way because of the king's edict. So what could be better than the Pharaoh's daughter having him? Pharaoh's given this edict, I'm going to get rid of all these babies. Pharaoh's daughter saves him, pays his mother to nurse him, and what a great outcome that happened to be. But the word here, let me read it now in the Common English Bible. That's when Moses was born, he was highly favored by God, and for 3 months his parents cared for him. Here's another translation, the Complete Jewish Bible. It was then when Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight. So you have this statement that he was beautiful. The Greek word meant somewhat sophisticated in a very lovely, very cultured, very special way. That word is often used to describe a city. If a city is very cultured and beautiful, that Greek word, and it's this city is just beautiful. It's culture, beautiful. Well, he was like that. And he was beautiful. And notice the phrase in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. Whose sight was he beautiful in? It says, in God's sight. He was favored, he was lovely, he was good to look at, he was so sophisticated and fine, he was a fine child in God's sight. You see that? So this woman, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and I'm reading now in the New American Standard Version, he was beautiful, and she hid him. In Exodus 2 and verse 2, in the New English Translation, the child became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and when she saw that he was a healthy child, says the New English Translation. The New International says he was a fine child, Exodus 2 and verse 2. Various things. In other words, he was well-formed, he was pleasing to God, he was, you might say, well-bred. All these words are part of what that Greek word meant. Well-bred, well-formed. So he was very much wanting to be saved. They wanted to save this kid. They couldn't give this kid up. They're not going to throw him in the Nile. So both his parents had to have faith. They also had to have somewhat of a, you know, this woman is not going to keep this child away from her husband. He's going to know that child's there. He wanted this child as well. So they both took a risk. In Hebrews chapter 11, and what does it say? It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, plural. But in Exodus 2, it only talks about his mother doing these things. But you know very well that his father was a part of it. So they had a good marriage. They had a marriage in which they cooperated. They had a marriage in which they communicated. They had a marriage in which they were together on things. And they also understood the risks. There were risks. If you get caught violating the Pharaoh's orders, what could happen to you? You might be killed, you might be your house burned down, or whatever. So they must have had a united marriage, cooperated, unified. In other words, they were not unequally yoked. Remember the state phrase in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14? Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? So you can't be You can't be so divergent in your value system, in your belief system. This is what causes marriages and relationships like that to break up. Not temperament. People are different. People can be different. Wife can have one kind of temperament, the other, the husband can have that. She could be good at this, he could be good at that. It's values that break up marriages. They don't have the same values. God gives special gifts to persons he's going to use. And Moses had a special gift, didn't he? He had a uniqueness about him. Right from the beginning, the Bible says he was a pleasing child. He was healthy. He was beautiful to God. But, you know, when Samson was born, what does the scripture say? Judges 13, verse 24. Then the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. And the child grew up, and the Eternal blessed him. And the Spirit of the Eternal began to stir him. So, as he was born, this child was going to be used. This child was going to be used. Samuel, the same way. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. You remember when his mother had him, she said, I will give him up when I wean him. I'll take him to the temple. He will then be serving God from that time. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him. From year to year, she would come up to see, you know, with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice at the temple. And he worked for Eli. You remember during that time, Eli and all the troubles that Eli's kids had. David, the same way. Here's what David said. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. David said, the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So God says, David knew, he was a young man, he was a shepherd boy, fighting these lions and bears, and he says, God delivered me. God was with him. Yes, faith makes the best citizens of any country. Okay, but it does not mean that we have to give in to all the laws if they're not right. We are good citizens of the United States, or England, or Germany, or wherever you are as a Christian are. We are good citizens. We do not harm people. We help one another out. We help our fellow man. We serve. We do. We do whatever we can to make the country better in which we live. We work hard. We take care of our families. We pay our bills. We do not cheat, lie, and steal. Therefore, we are good citizens, but as Peter made a very clear statement when he was told, do not talk about this man, Jesus Christ, anymore. Peter says, you know, you have to decide. We say we ought to obey God rather than man. And so many saints have given their lives, but there are also many people who hide their Christianity. They don't want it. They don't want anybody to know. Now, faith not only protected little baby Moses, their faith, but even more important, it was also a great protector in our spiritual lives. Your faith is your protector. By grace are you saved through faith. That's protection of your eternal life, protection of your future life, by grace. And remember this phrase in Acts chapter 16. I know we don't like to quote it very often because it seems too, maybe too Protestant-y or too flowery. Here's Acts 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And then protected from divine judgment. What does that mean, to be saved? To be saved, to be safe. Saved and safe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You'll be protected. Faith is what protects us. How many people spend money on protection? You ever spend money on protection? Sure you do. You spend money on insurance to protect your assets, to protect your house, to protect your car, to protect your body. You know, you spend money. We all spend money. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. We protect our material things. We try to insure, you know, if you have expensive furniture or expensive paintings or something, you'll try to insure them. There's nothing wrong with that. But think about it. What about cultivating faith that will protect the most valuable of all things, our eternal life, our life in this world and in the next? They were not. Here's what Hebrews says. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, this last one. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Moses' parents were not afraid because of their faith. They did not fear. Moses' parents did not fear Pharaoh. And faith is a great, you know, it's a great protection against fear. Faith. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, beginning in verse 17. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of people in Egypt greatly increased. Now this is Stephen. These are the words of Stephen giving his defense against some of the Jews. For Stephen believed in Christ. He believed in Jesus. And he's giving this defense. He says, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king came who did not know Joseph because of became the ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people. And listen to this. And oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so they would die. Many Israelite people, many of the Jews, many of the Israelites threw their babies. They went along with the king's commandment. They feared the king. They didn't fear God. They feared the king. Let's throw our babies away. And then in verse 20, this is Acts 7, verse 20. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child, says the New International Version. No ordinary child. In other words, he was very special, beautiful. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. And when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. Now, it's interesting. Stephen is saying Moses was powerful in speech. He was powerful in action. But what did Moses say? I don't think I can speak. You know, you better give me Aaron. Aaron can do the speaking. I can't speak in front of Pharaoh. I stutter. I'm not too good at it. I'll stutter. I'll get all tongue-tied. And, you know, have Aaron do the talking. But here he says he was powerful in speech. And then listen to this phrase. When he was born, he was hid for 3 months. The parents of Moses were so clever, so skillful to hide a baby for 3 months, number one. But after 3 months, they figure they better give him up. They've got to do something to make this little ark. It was like a little ark, a little wicket basket covered with pitch. Now think of how inventive that is. You had to be thinking about, what are you going to do with this baby? How are we going to get this baby? You've got to be skillful, working. How do I get this wicker bag? How do I get some of this tar and pitch to cover it? Where am I going to get this? How am I going to put this together? Where do we place it? You had to do research. You had to do being aware of what's going on in the area. So they were skilled. They were clever. They were clever enough to conceal. And they hid him for 3 months in an extremely hostile world against the Israelites. Extremely hostile. Because many, as you saw what Stephen said, many of them threw their babies into the Nile anyhow. But notice in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2, but when she could hide him no longer, I can't keep him hidden. He's a little baby. He's going to get louder and louder, and the people are going to know about it. I can't keep him hidden any longer than 3 months. She got that wicker basket. She covered it with tar and pitch. This is Exodus chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds in the bank. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen. Of course, she saw Pharaoh's daughter. Creative, cunning, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. They knew where Pharaoh's daughter would bathe. They sent Miriam to watch over. When she saw what was in this wicker basket, that's a little baby. The Bible says her heart, her sympathies, it's this little baby. And it's in women, you know, to want a mother, to want to be kind, and to take this baby. And then she said, would you like... She came to, would you like a woman, a Hebrew woman, to nurse him? Yeah, I will. I'll pay her wages if she'll nurse him. You talk about a phenomenal story of irony and coming around. Here was a guy who was destined to be killed, now not only saved, but saved in the royal family of Egypt, grew up in all the education and teaching of... So the climax of faith is this. Moses' mother raised Moses. For the next 2 to 4 years, the normal time of weaning. And to beat all, she got paid for nursing her own kid by the king's daughter, who helped nullify the king's decree. The king's daughter pays money probably out of the king's treasury. Not only did the king not get his wish to be thrown in, he had to pay for it. So the king's commandment. That whole thing was incredible. It shows you what faith in God can do. When you think you're right up against it, we have no power. The Egyptians have all the power. And yet what God can do. The rewards of faith are both wonderful and great. We might not always collect those rewards in this life. But we have faith, don't we? We have a faith that we will be resurrected. We have a faith that will go beyond our days here. And into the time of Jesus Christ coming. And my faith is that when Jesus Christ comes, whether I'm alive or dead, and I expect to be dead, I'm sure, that Christ will resurrect me, and I will be with him in his eternal kingdom. And I hope to see all of you there.